today we're joined by a very special guest, a very beautiful woman that I feel privileged to have in the studio. Thank you so much for coming. And her name is Tehillah Haya. She's a woman whose journey into Judaism is as beautiful and extraordinary as the bridal gowns that she creates. From winning design awards as a teenager to dressing Miss Universe contestants, Tehillah's career has always been about beauty, grace, and transformation. But it's her personal transformation that is even more remarkable. Tehillah was raised in a strict Christian household and was studying theology towards a doctorate when she began to feel that something was missing. After a painful divorce, she asked God, "If I don't have love, I have nothing. Take me to your people." And that prayer set her on a path she never could have imagined, one that led her straight into the heart of the Jewish world and has led you straight into the studio here at High FM. Tehillah, thanks so much for joining us. How did your journey into bridal design begin? Was it something you were called to do, or did it find you along the way?
It was definitely something I was called to do. I think it was basically in my blood, because my parents, well, they came from our bloodline, came from the French Huguenots, and I believe that they were tailors. And my father himself was able to sew and tailor. He made curtains and all kinds of things. So one day, my mother was, she didn't know how to sew.
I can relate to that.
So she was looking at this item she was supposed to make, and she couldn't make it, so I took it, climbed in behind the sewing machine, and I finished the whole waistcoat.
And how old were you?
I was only 13, and wow. I only realized then, you know what, I can sew.
And you have a gift.
And I had a gift.
And you loved it.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So then but I wanted to be a surgeon, so I never thought this was a career. So, or it would turn into a career or a gift. So I used to sit and design pictures, beautiful garments, you know, on these Dolly pictures, and that was just my while away time. So,
and at that time, you were deeply rooted in Christian theology, and you even studied it, if I'm not mistaken, for 4 years.
Yes.
What started to feel off for you, and what were the kind of questions that you were wrestling with?
I was truly wrestling, because I studied. The Christian Bible comes with the Tanakh, and everything I studied in the Christian Bible would always, any scripture that we used to sit and dissect, would always go back to the foundation, which was the Torah or the writings. And I loved the writings, and I loved the Torah. And I always reverted back to the Torah. And the Torah spoke to me because it had history. It was something ancient. It was a relationship between Hashem and the Israelites. It was a called people, and I longed for that. And you know, like being a Christian, it was something new. Like when you read the Christian Bible, it's something new. It's not like something that was ancient and had this tremendous, I know it was 2,000 years, but it was not like the Torah with these beautiful patriarchs.
I know that you had a divorce, and I know you said it was a painful divorce.
Yes.
And afterwards, you prayed for love and connection, and you asked God to take you to his people. What happened next?
Wow. Okay, that feels like quite a jump.
Okay, well, you're questioning. And so let's go back a step. You're questioning, and you are asking questions.
Yeah. No problem. So what I asked Hashem, and this truly came from my heart, because from the divorce, I felt like everything was taken from me. I did not belong. I did not belong where I was. And I think maybe it was all this studying and feeling part of, you know, I really wanted to be part of the Torah, the Jewish people, and it was like I wasn't meant to be where I was.
What did you feel was missing, or what did you find in the Torah that you hadn't had before?
I think it was, you know, on the first page, Hashem mentions the Shabbat. I think it was the Shabbat, and then it was the festivals. And then he says, write upon your doors and your gates, I shall love the Lord my God. And I wrote it. I wrote those things because I didn't know anybody that was Jewish around me to teach me. So I took little pieces of paper and I wrote it on the doors and I put it on the gates. And I even at the time started wearing tzitzit under my dress.
And I know you obviously went for a formal Orthodox conversion process, but you had to wait before the class actually started.
Yes.
So what was that waiting period like for you, both emotionally and spiritually?
It was a metamorphosis. It's like you're a worm, and now you have to go, and you're going to spin your web, and you're going to go and sit in that that cocoon, and then wait. That was what my, if I had to put it into a metaphor. It was, that is what it's like. You spin that cocoon, and you sit there, and you wait for the transformation. And you have to wait. And when I went to the Beth Din, it was like, I'm sitting in this cocoon, and if you don't let me out, I'm going to die.
I mean, you were completely convinced that this was the right path.
Absolutely.
And then you spoke about Shabbat and Shabbat being so meaningful.
Yes.
And what were the first Shabbats like for you? I mean, you would light candles. You weren't sure how to cook the food.
Yes, because when I came, I first met with Valvi Bokov, the Shatnez lab. So I went to the lab, and I was intrigued by his knowledge of Torah. And then eventually I went to Alice Friedman, and that was my path. Yeah. To the Jewish community, and that was my stepping stone. So our first Shabbat with my little girl was, we didn't know that we could switch the lights on. So we went into Shabbat without lights on.
So you lit the candles?
We the lights were off. We had our food already bought and prepared. I didn't know how to prepare food, so I didn't want to, you know,
switch on the stove,
and I didn't want to do anything. So my little girl and I would sit around the Shabbos candles and have our meal in the dark.
So once the Shabbos candles would go out,
there's no light. I somewhere heard that somebody said, but you can't even switch your light on a Shabbat, and that stuck.
And what did your little girl think of all this?
She said, Mommy, it's extremely difficult. I don't know if I can do this.
I know that you also said it took you a while to go to shul. I mean, I think it took you 5 months.
Yes.
So what was holding you back?
So maybe it was I was scared to get through the gate.
You mean the security?
Just to go to shul and there's a gate. And how am I going to get through that gate? I think that was the main thing. I don't think it was so much the rabbi and the people and everything going to shul. That was fun. My thing was, how am I going to get through that gate?
And
I did. One day I got dressed, I walked to shul, and I was able to get through the gate. It was open.
And what did it feel like for you coming home?
It was strange. It was very strange.
I'm sure.
I didn't know. I mean, going to shul is the first time, you know, Jewish soon to be person. It's very, very strange.
And you also went to the mikveh. I mean, what did that feel like?
Oh my goodness, that was so intense. It was so personal. It was so holy. It was like I stood there. I had no name. I had no family. I was here on a journey and not sure. But at that moment, when I stood there with nothing, completely, like, really naked, not physically, but naked from the inside, it was like Hashem carried my neshama, and I realized this is my time. He carried my neshama for thousands of years. I could feel it. It was like so intense. It was the most intimate moment between me coming into Klal Israel and as Hashem as my true God, bringing me to this place and this destiny.
You say you had no family. I mean, did you have to separate from your family?
Yes, it's a separation. And the separation is not just separation. You separate from ideas. You separate from beliefs, tradition. You separate. There's a complete separation. There's a severance that takes place. You know, my daughter's not with me. She didn't convert. I didn't tell you that. So, yeah, she's not with me. So there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain that I had to endure. And you know, because this was a soul's journey that I had to perform in this lifetime.
Tehillah, I mean, you've got tears in your eyes, and I'm going to start having tears in my eyes. Have you ever looked back and thought you made the wrong decision?
Never, never. I'm just going forward. But thank God for our sages that have taught us that we can take distortion and we can turn it into love. And we can take whatever is distortion, we can turn that into love, and we can grow this vessel and call the Creator's light within our being, within our neshamas. We are spiritual beings having a natural life, a human life. We are not human beings having a spiritual life.
And I know that another painful thing for you is the week of your birthday is the week that October the 7th happened.
Yes, that's right.
And if I'm not
that is my mikvah birthday.
Your mikvah birthday. Yes. And if I'm not mistaken, you didn't actually know that October 7th had happened until after the Shabbat.
It was a year later. Yes, we were celebrating Shabbos, and we were the next day we were dancing around the Torah, and we were so extremely happy and laughing. We had no idea of what was happening outside until after Shabbat we heard the terrible news. And then obviously after Shabbat, the Torah, after dancing of the Torah, was my mikvah birthday. And I thought, you know what, how can I celebrate this? And then I realized Tehillah, Tehillim, and Chaya, life. This is why I'm Tehillah Chaya, because this is the time now to daven Tehillim for life.
And now, full circle, you're designing modest gowns for Orthodox Jewish brides.
Yes.
And you're even donating one to a listener.
Yes.
So before we chat about that, how does it feel knowing that your dresses are part of other women's new beginnings?
It's wonderful. It's a part of my new beginning. It's a dream being fulfilled as a Jewish woman and as a daughter of the Most High. And I'm able to be able to take this gift and to take the distortion, turn it into this beautiful love and give from not nothing, but give because I'm complete and whole.
And Tehillah, I mean, I almost want to stop the radio interview and hug you, but I'll wait a minute. Can you please tell us about the dress and the gown that you're making available to one of the listeners? And for you guys listening, listen, because this is very exciting.
So this is my dream. It's a beautiful love story that takes place in the Garden of En Gedi. It's the love story of King Solomon and the Shulamite woman, and it's also the love story between Hashem and Israel. And this is my gift that I can give, is to create beautiful modest gowns for the Jewish community worldwide. I don't want to miss anyone. I want to be able to take whatever is this beautiful light and beauty within my being. I want to be able to give, and Baruch Hashem, he has opened the doors for me internationally. So I want to be able to give a gift today to a bride that wants to get married in the next few months.